Let's open our Bibles together and let us search the Scriptures together today as we read the Word of the living God in Habakkuk chapter 2, commencing to read at verse number 1. Let's follow the reading of God's holy and God's infallible truth. Habakkuk 2, verse number 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, and make a plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak, and not lie, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Yea, also because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth up unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. Shall not all these take up a parable against him, and a taunting proverb against him, and say, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his! How long? And to him that ladeth himself with thick clay. Shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee? And thou shalt be for booties unto them, because thou hast spoiled many nations. All the remnant of the people shall spoil thee, because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land of the city, and of all that dwell therein. We end our reading there, and we pray that God will bless his word afresh to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, reverently, humbly, we come before thee, and we thank thee for this opportunity once again of gathering round thy precious word. We pray that thou will bless thy word to all of our hearts. Help us to understand what thou art saying, even in this book in the Old Testament. We pray that thou wilt make it real to our hearts, even for us today. And we pray that, O God, that as we read it, as we meditate upon it, help us, our God, to walk in the center of thy word and in the center of thy will. Bless every head that is bowed before thee. Remember every family circle that's represented here. O God, thou knowest their every need. And we commit that need to thee this day. Cover us in the precious, precious blood of Jesus. And grant that we might know the infilling and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost this day. For we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. In our study in chapter number 1 of the book of Habakkuk, we notice that the prophet of God debated with God concerning Judah and concerning God's judgment that was coming upon it because of her sin. We find that the prophet had a humbling burden. He was a man that had got a burden for the land that he loved. And when he saw the nation in sin, he knew that God would intervene, that God must judge them because of their sin. He had a burden that he spread out and cast upon the Lord. But as he spoke with God and God spoke with him, then we see the honest battle and we see the heartfelt bewilderment that God's servant had. And then he came to the holy balm. He sees in God a holy, an eternal, an omniscient, an omnipotent, a gracious God. And he throws himself upon the Lord. And he depends and relies upon the goodness of God, even in this day of battle within his heart. He looks upon the children of Judah, as God says that he will bring that hasty nation of the Chaldeans and the Babylonians upon Judah because of their sin. And God's servant, when he hears this, and he cannot understand why God would take such a hasty and such a wicked and such a violent nation and use them as his instrument of judgment against the people of Judah. And as he thinks of the people of Judah in verse number 14 of chapter 1, he says, "And make us men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them." He sees the people of Judah as indeed a helpless band. They're just like fish. They're like fish that are hooked and fish that are netted. And he sees them there. Verse 15, they take up all of them with the angle. They catch them in their net and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. He sees a haughty beast, a mighty power netting one nation after the other. And as they take one nation into the net, then they empty it out. They empty the net out. And then they go after another and they fill it once again. A proud nation that goes after its own way and exploit. And so we find that Habakkuk has an honest battle going on in his heart. But what he does, friend, is this. He brings his burden to God. And he opens his heart before God. He has questions. He has arguments that he wants to present before God. He can't understand why God is doing it this way. But he's honest before God because he tells the Lord what he's thinking. He opens his heart. You see, God knows what's going on in our heart, friend, and we need to be honest before God. And maybe there's someone here this morning, and maybe others can't see it, but you're arguing with God. You're arguing with God. You have an argument with God because maybe things haven't worked out the way that you think they should work out. And there have been times in all of our lives that we must be honest before God. And we must be open before God and just spread it out before God and let the Lord know just exactly what our hearts are feeling. That's exactly what Habakkuk did. Then we come to chapter 2 and notice the difference. Having argued and brought his arguments before God and emptied out his heart before God, as we turn to chapter 2, it says this, "I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what the Lord will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved." And having spoken and having opened his heart before God, then, what's he going to do now? He says, "I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what God will say to me." You see, there's time for talking. There's time for opening our heart before God and do as Habakkuk the prophet did, and the things that it was in his heart. He told it to the Lord. He was honest before God, but now having spread it out before God and his complaint, he spread it out before God. Now he determines to do something else. He's no longer going to talk, friend. He's going to listen. He's going to wait for God. And here's the earnest resolve. He says, "I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower." And what the child of God does, friend, having spoken, having done all the talking, then he withdraws himself and he says, "I'm going to wait on God." Because you see, as there's a time to speak, there's a time to listen. And he withdraws himself from the hustle and bustle of life, and he says, I will get into the watchtower. In other words, he felt that indeed there was a necessity for him to get alone with God, to get away from the things that troubled him. And he wanted to hear God speak. And to do that, friend, he has to take himself away from the hustle and bustle and spend time in God's presence to fix his mind upon God himself, waiting for God to speak. Ask you a question. Is there a place that you withdraw yourself to? Is there a place that you meet with God, friend? Away from the hustle and bustle. Away from all the family circumstances. Away from all the things that will take your mind. Is there a special place that you meet with God? Let me tell you. Is it not true that whenever you come to spend time before God, if you just sit around, the phone will ring or somebody will call, something to take your attention? And friend, let me tell you this. Habakkuk realized, he said, listen, I will stand upon my watch and I will set me upon the tower and watch to see what he will say unto me. You need to spend time in God's presence. You and I. And there needs to be a place, friend, and there needs to be a time when we meet with God, and we need to take that time. The psalmist said, or quoting the word of God, be still and know that I am God. And we need to get into the stillness of God's presence, and we need to wait in God's presence, and we need to wait and watch to see what God will say. You say there was a time for talking, now is the time for listening. See, the wonderful thing about the Habakkuk, the prophet, was this, friend. He knew that God was going to speak. I'm going to just wait to see. I'm going to watch to see what God will say. Listen, there wasn't a doubt in Habakkuk's mind that God would answer him. He knew God would speak to him. He knew that there was a word coming from God. And friend, we need to hear God speak. Maybe there's situations in our lives, and maybe we've relied upon what man says, and maybe we've brought it to somebody else, and that somebody else will probably go and talk it to somebody else. Because that seems to be the modern age, that nobody seems to be able to listen and take in anymore, but there seems to be so much gossip here and so much gossip there. Let me tell you, my friend, when you take your burden to God, God can answer. The prophet of God took his burden to God and he said, God, I can't understand why you're doing it this way. And he opened his heart before God, friend. Didn't try to pretend, didn't try to put on a show before God, because God knew what was in his heart anyhow. Then he said, listen, I'm going to stand upon the watch and I'm going to set me in the tower. I'm going to watch to see what God will say to me. Has God spoken to you this past week, friend? Has God been speaking to your heart? Have you taken the time to listen to God? So many voices that are taking the attention even of God's people today. And God's people are not taking the time to dwell in the presence of God. There was not a doubt in the prophet's mind that God would reply to a supplication. He that cometh to God, the word of God says, must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You've been spreading out some need before God, friend. You expecting God to answer? You've been expecting God to speak? Is that what you've been waiting on? For God to speak. Yes, Habakkuk knew that Judah had forsaken God. He couldn't understand the way that God was going to do the work. And God knew that. He said, listen, even though I tell you, you'll not believe it. God knew. And so he desires God to answer. The confidence of when we come to God to know that God is going to answer our prayer. He looked up in faith. Have you faith that God will answer your prayer, friend? Habakkuk did. The psalmist said, I waited for the Lord. Didn't we open our service this morning? I waited for the Lord my God and patiently did bear at length to me. He didn't cry my voice and incline my voice and cry to hear. He drew me from the fearful pit and from the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock, establishing my way. You never waste time when you spend it in God's presence, when you're waiting for God to answer, friend. And Habakkuk wasn't wanting God to do something great. He says, God, he wasn't saying, God, I want you to shake the firmament. God, I want you to do some miraculous thing, and I want you to work some great miracle, and I want you to trouble the seas. Not at all, friend. He wasn't wanting God to do that. He just wanted God to sleep. He wasn't wanting some great sign or some great wonder from God. He says, I'll stand upon my watch to see what God will say. That's all I want. God, speak to me. Speak to me. I was thinking of Elijah the prophet. You remember when Elijah sat under the juniper tree and he had a time of oppression and depression. And he sat under the juniper tree and he felt that just everything was wrong. And he felt that, you know, that he'd rather sit down and die. And the Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 9, and he came thither unto a cave then and said, rather, unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? This is the great Elijah, friend, the man that God greatly used, the man that under God confounded the prophets of Baal there on Mount Carmel. And now he's in a cave. He has been under the juniper tree, verse number 4. And my, he rises and goes to the cave and he's lying there and he says, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant and thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Friend, you go on down that passage of God's word. Verse number 11, it says, and God said, go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rock before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, still small voice. It was so when Elijah heard it. That was a still small voice, friend. No great wonder, no great sign, but just a still small voice. He wrapped his face in his mantle and he went out and he stood in the entrance of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? You see, friend, Habakkuk wasn't waiting for some great stirring in the firmament. He was just waiting for the voice of God. And I believe that he knew in his heart that God wouldn't disappoint him, that God would speak. I waited for the Lord my God. Are you waiting on God, friend? Have you come to God's house and Have you extracted God? Can I ask another question? Have you prepared, has your heart been prepared coming to God's house? Or did you just get up this morning, friend, and race into God's house? And have you talked with God and said, God, listen, I'm coming to your house, I've come to worship you. Lord, I want you to speak to me. I want you to deal with my heart. If there's sin there, God, I want you to deal with it. Lord, whatever there is, if there's hardness there, I want you to deal with it. Oh, God, whatever there is in my heart that needs to be touched and needs to be purged out of it, God, I want you to deal with it. God, above anything else, I want you to speak to me. Oh, God, speak to me through your word. May there be some word for my heart. As I leave your house, that, oh God, I will be challenged and edified and blessed. There's the earnest resolve. He says, I'll get to the tower. And he says, I'm going to see. I'm going to watch. Expectant, friend. Expectant. I'm going to watch and see. Have you come to God's house today, friend? Expectant heart. What God will say to me. And then notice the early response. Because Habakkuk hadn't waited long for an answer. But I'll tell you what he did. He gave God the opportunity to reply. You know, some people come to you. Quite often it happens in public life, or it happens in ministerial life, and people come, friend, listen, they've got a burden. And friend, I tell you the truth, they come and they're looking for advice and they want you to help them. And all they do is talk. You never get time to answer. You just simply talk. You say, well, of course, that's helping them. They're unburdening their hearts. That's true. But they never give you a chance to say anything. Have you allowed God to speak, friend? You doing all the talking? Habakkuk waited. Look at verse 2. And the Lord answered him. And the Lord answered me. Isn't that lovely? God spoke. You asking the Lord for directions? Have you been seeking God's face for your life, friend, and asking Him to show you the way ahead? And have you been waiting on God and asking God to reveal His plan and His purpose? And you poured that out before God so many times? Have you waited patiently for God to answer? Of course, sometimes the Lord tells us what we don't want to hear. Sometimes it's not just exactly what we expected. Let very quickly, friend, let us notice how God answered. He said two things to him. He said, listen, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Mark that. It's yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. He said two things to him. He said, write. He says, wait. That was the instruction he gave him. He says, write. I want you to write it down. Then he says, I want you to wait. You see, God answered. He says, write the vision. And friend, what was happening here? God wasn't going to leave his child in the dark. The problem that was in Habakkuk's heart was this, that God was going to raise up a hasty nation of the Chaldeans to be a judgment upon Judah, that had sinned against God, God's children who had sinned against Him, God's people who had been disobedient to Him, and God was going to raise up a more evil nation, and God was going to use them as the rod of discipline, and Habakkuk can't understand it. And God says, God says, listen, let me show you something. I'm going to give you a glimpse into the future, Habakkuk. I'm going to let you see the end of the story. And whilst it's true that I'm raising up this nation, let me tell you, and this nation shall ride through the land, and this nation shall be terrible and dreadful, and their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of them. I want to tell you, their victory, their triumph will only be for a short time. I'm going to deal with them too. You leave them in my hand. And what God did, friend, God pulled back the curtain and God gave Habakkuk a glimpse of the future of Babylon to allow him to endure to the end. God was showing him how he was going to move in the future. And he says, listen, I want you to write it down. I want you to write it. Thank God for His Word, friend. Let me tell you, you and I are traveling through a great wilderness experience of this old world, friend. And it seems as if the enemy is rising up, and it seems as if the enemy's winning, and it seems as if that God's people, as we hasten toward the return of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it seems that the devil's having a heyday. Let me tell you, friend, his day is only short. His days are short. His triumph is short. And what God has given to us is as God gave in Habakkuk's day. He says, I want you to write it down. He says, I want you to write the vision. I want you to make it plain upon the tables, on tablets of stone. Listen, here's a word that you can depend upon. Here's a word that's sure. Here's a word that's certain. And it can keep you going, brother. Listen, in days of adversity, it is for an appointed time. Friend, God, just as in the days of Habakkuk, God's given us the end of the story. God's revealed to us the end of the story. And when the devil and all the works of hell have put against the people of God and fired all the darts they can against the people of God, and with all the venom of the demons of the damned come against the child of God, thank God we win. We're overcomers through Christ. He has given us the end of the book. He has given us the end of the story. And in Christ, we win. And my, that gives us grace to go on, doesn't it? And God says, Habakkuk, I want you to write it, and I want you to write it. You know, it needs to be read, not only for now, but in the coming days. Friend, and the amazing thing is this, he says, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. And here we are this morning, many years after Habakkuk wrote it, and we're reading it. We're reading it. And he says, write it that he may run that readeth. Write it in such a way, Habakkuk, that when people read it, that they'll run and share it. They'll run and tell it. And he says, make it plain. Make it plain. He says, write, make it plain upon tables that people understand it. And friend, thank God for the grace of the of God and the good old gospel. And the wayfaring man, though a fool, shall not err therein. And he says, write. And then he said this. He said, the vision is yet for an appointed time. He says, but the end, at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry.
is, wait for his fulfillment. Patience. Patience.
And let's be honest, and that's a problem with a lot of us.
Patience. We want God to answer our prayers. We want him to answer prayer now. We want God to move. We want God to move now.
The Lord Jesus Christ was going back to heaven, Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. And there in that record there, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, before he goes to heaven, he says this to the disciples. He says, "Ye are my witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with the power from on high." He says, tarry, wait, wait. He said, it will come, yes, but you've got to wait. And God says to Habakkuk, listen, I want you to write the vision, but I want you to know it's for an appointed time. God says, listen, I want to tell you, it will come. And Judah's going to face hard days and difficult days. They're going to go through great suffering. But God says, I'll bring them through. And the Chaldeans that I use as my weapon of judgment, God says, I'm going to deal with them too. He says, listen, this is for an appointed time. Listen, there are no mistakes with God, friend. There are no mistakes with God. There are many mistakes with us, but there are no mistakes with God. And all the sovereign purposes of God, let me tell you, everything that God has appointed and everything that God has planned, it will come to pass. Oh, you say, preacher, I look back over my life and there were things that I thought that God had planned and they haven't worked out. Yes, friend, that may be true. That may be true. Things that you or I thought that God had planned. I didn't talk about what you had planned and I didn't talk about what you thought God had planned. I'm talking about what God plans. There's no mistakes. It's for an appointed time. God knows the need of your heart and knows the long of your heart. And say, what do I do, preacher? Then you just, it's for the appointed time, you just wait for it. Wait for it. It will surely come. It will not tarry.
It's interesting, you know, because we read this morning in the book of Hebrews. And verse number four of chapter 2 of Habakkuk says, the just shall live by faith. Did you notice that we read that this morning in Hebrews? Let's go back to the book of Hebrews just for a wee moment. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience. Well, of course, that's what we've been talking about in Habakkuk, isn't it? We have need of patience. In other words, wait. We have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, ye may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith.
There's a little thought here. In Habakkuk it says, though it tarry, wait for it. In Hebrews it's wait for him. It'll come. It will not tarry. That's what it says in Hebrews. Or in Habakkuk. In Hebrews it says, verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Wait for him, friend. Wait for him. Get your eyes on the Lord. You look on others and you'll be disappointed. You look at circumstances and you'll be disappointed, but praise God, get your eyes upon the Savior and there's no disappointment. Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine, for we'll understand it all by and by. And the dark problem that Habakkuk had, and no time's away this morning, but listen, the dark problem and nearly depression that was upon God's servant because God was going to use this hasty nation of the Babylonians and the Chaldeans. And it perplexed his mind. Let me tell you, it was no problem to God at all. You see things that we get ourselves oppressed with and depressed with? Let me tell you, friend. If you take it to God and you wait for Him, it's no problem with God. No problem for God. You see, God was saying, listen, the triumphing of the wicked will be short. Their power, their day will be short. Their power will soon be broken. Read the Psalms. Read Psalm 37 after you get your dinner. Read Psalm 73, friend. Let me tell you. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. I saw the wicked prosper, and I saw them spread themselves as a green bay tree. But they were soon cut off. This is their day. But thank God the crowning day is coming by and by. See, God's vision was for an appointed time. There is always a moment for God. His purpose, He's sovereign. Get your eyes upon a sovereign God today. If your heart's breaking, then trust Him. Even though your eyes cannot see, maybe you cannot see His face, my friend. Maybe it's a frown that seems instead upon the face of God. Listen, if you cannot see His face, by faith reach out and take His hand. He says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. The vision is yet for an appointed time. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come. Wait for Him. He will surely come. Do you remember the story in the Scriptures which said where the enemies were surrounding the children of Israel and it seemed as if there was no hope? And God let His servant see. All he could see was the darkness. All he could see was the disaster. All he could see was the desolation. All he could see was the destruction that was surely coming. God opened His eyes and He could see the horsemen and the chariots. The Lord coming in triumph to deliver His people. And thank God, He will surely come. Let me ask you in closing, are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Those in this gathering this morning, are you ready for His coming? Word of God says, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. May God grant that if you're not ready for His coming, that this day might be the day. Oh, that you'll trust Him. He says, Habakkuk, write. Write it down, because this is sure. For God cannot lie. And then He says, Habakkuk, wait. Wait patiently. It will surely come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,
we bow before Thee this morning and we confess that when we look around us and see so much sin and evil in this world, and we look into our own hearts and we see just what failures we are, we long for the day when we shall be perfect. We long for the day when we'll sin no more. We long for the day when our sighing will be finished. The crowning day, it's coming by and by. We thank Thee that when Thou didst say to Thy children that they were to tarry in Jerusalem, wait for the promise of the Father. We thank Thee that they went back, and they went back singing, they went back, even their eyes had been filled with tears and their hearts had been broken that their master had gone. Yet we thank Thee the Word says that they went back with joy, resting in the promise, waiting for the Comforter. We thank Thee that as He waited in that upper room, we thank Thee in the day of Pentecost was fully come. In other words, the appointed time. We thank Thee that the Holy Ghost fell upon. They were ready for service because they received the power after the Holy Ghost came upon. We go out into this world, O God, please give Your people power. And Lord, not only give them power, give them patience. Help us to wait with patience. Help us to believe what's written. Help us to rest in the promises. Help us to wait with patience. He will surely come. No God, we bow before Thee and we say, even so come, Lord Jesus. Pray for those that are not saved. Pray for those that are not ready. Oh God, I pray in the Savior's name, may some, even in this gathering this morning, run to Jesus. Live not another day without Christ. But this day trust Him. For He's coming again. Supper is with Your blessing. In Jesus' name.